I'd like to look at a few verses before we get into a history that is in the Bible, but some very simple things right at the beginning, starting with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This world has a lot of complicated formulas for how someone can go to heaven. But there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to read from verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel that I preached unto you, which you have also received. Let's stop there. The vast majority of the people in this room, I am confident, have already received the gospel. The question tonight is, have you? It doesn't do any good for your parents to have received it. Repeated in a gospel meeting a couple of weeks ago, a brother where I live has often made the statement that God has children. One thing God does not have is any grandchildren. There's parents in this room tonight that have grandchildren through the natural birth process. But every person has to make the decision for themselves. It cannot be made by your parents, your grandparents, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your Sunday school teacher. So the question, if you received it, wherein you stand. Verse 2, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Let's stop there for a moment. If you want to think about something that goes far, far, far beyond your capacity and my capacity to understand, it's to think that the one who we are reading about in this verse never had a beginning. You know, it stretches our imagination to think about a future that doesn't have an end. But in a sense, we can say, okay, I can understand that. But the one who we're talking about tonight, who wants to be your Savior, if he's not already, never had a beginning. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together, one God, one Trinity, one deity in heaven. And then the day came, and I'm not saying a time or anything like that, where the Father said, I want a bride for his Son. You know, there's an invitation that's going out, and it's the most unusual invitation to a wedding that there's ever been presented. Can you imagine receiving an invitation in the mail that says, I'm inviting you to a wedding, and the only way you can come to the wedding is if you're part of the bride? The guest lists, the visitors, the friends of the bride, that's already been filled up. If you want to come to that wedding, you have to come as part of the bride. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants for you tonight. He wants you to be part of his bride. And so what does it go on and say? What did he do to do it? He said Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He didn't come and say, I'm going to have you try to be better. He didn't come and say, you know, I'm going to leave a good example, and if you get good and religious, you're going to go to be with me in heaven. There was only one way that he could save sinners such as you and such as me. And that was by dying. And it wasn't some simple death. 6 hours on a Friday, nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 to noon, receiving the taunts, the hurled against him by his own creation. People that had no clue that in most cases that they would not be there for a moment if he had forgotten about them. And then the lights were turned out from noon to 3 p.m. In darkness, a cry rang out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't my father. It wasn't a father rejecting his son. God sent his son, but then he was there on Calvary's cross because there was no other way, absolutely no other way for you or for me to go to heaven. And so he suffered, paid a price in those 3 hours, that you and I could never pay for all eternity. He made a deposit that was so great that he could offer that salvation to whosoever will. There was a man in a small town many years ago who went away, made an incredible income, became a very rich man. He went back to his hometown years later and he said, I put up a sign. I don't remember the details, but we'll just say this Saturday, such and such a date. Anyone who comes to me, comes to this location with their debts, bring the receipts of it. You come in and I'll pay off the debts. He had the capacity to do so. Saturday came. People stood outside. A lot of people said, you can't believe something like that. But yeah, one went in, two went in, a few went in. And people are sort of saying, yeah, this is really going to take place. Is this going to happen? And what did happen is at noon, the door opened. People came out and they said, well, what did he do? Well, my debts are paid. Well, I'm going in too. Nope. The man said, I told you, 9 to noon. That was the opportunity. And if you passed up the opportunity, don't come to me at noon and say it. And the door is going to be shut. I woke up this morning and saying, oh, we're still here. And a lot of us are still, we're still here. Maybe we're waiting for you. Maybe we're waiting because you're the one who's not yet made the decision to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord. But while he was died, yeah, that he died. But verse 4, he was buried. If you go to the Quran, who recognizes, it says Jesus is the Messiah, never recognizes him as God. 25 times they make reference to him. They say he was born of a virgin. They say he was nailed to a cross. But they missed one thing. They said he wasn't buried. They said he was taken to heaven without dying, without being resurrected. What guarantee would that give to anyone who's here? I was at a funeral a few weeks ago, and we were in a mausoleum, and on the right side, there were all the different places where there were caskets, and on the left side, and you could read the day in which the person was born and the day in which they were buried. And it was a different place to have a funeral, but I thought as I was sitting there, that those caskets, every one of those, sooner or later is going to be emptied. But not all at once. If you were to die today and be buried, would you go as the middle part of the first resurrection as we heard about today? Or would you go at the end of the millennium when you will see the last face that you will ever see for all eternity, the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can't imagine what that would be like. There was a young man many years ago who beat up a man much older than him on the street, stole the things that that man had. The young man was captured, put in jail overnight, taken the next day by the Summa Sheriff's deputy to the courtroom, walked in the courtroom. He had the shock of his life because the person who was sitting now with the robe of a judge in that courtroom was the same man that he had beaten the day before. Imagine what that would be like. Well, no one here has physically beaten the Lord Jesus, but if you refuse his offer of eternal salvation, if you refuse his message of grace and mercy, if you refuse to have your sins washed away in his blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, you're going to see that face, and that will be the last face you will see for all eternity. Most of us here are looking forward to seeing that face in the clouds, perhaps today. So what did he do? He died. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen. We heard clearly this afternoon about the resurrection. You know, if someone tried to hide something, detectives say that there's one way to keep a secret, and only one way to be sure you can keep a have a good chance of keeping a secret, and that's whatever you do, don't do it with anyone else. There were many who saw him, but each one who saw him was someone who knew the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And so, let's look at three verses before we sing and go on to maybe the larger topic that we're going to talk about tonight. The first verse, well known, Romans. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. But I'm going to, if you permit me, read it with a slight modification, because it's true of me. For I have sinned, and I came short of the glory of God. It's nice to read it and know that it's all encompassing, that everyone is included in the all. But have you ever made that personal? Have you ever stopped and said, I have sinned, and because of my sins, I've come short of the glory of God? Well, that's where it starts. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Verse 30. Paul, in the city of sophistication, knowledge, and everything else, among the Athenians, the Grecians, said something. He said, at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. If you go to the city of Athens today, you can walk up from the city on a pathway. You can see the Parthenon. It was a city where they had idols to the different gods. Supposedly at that time on Mount Olympus, they had 12 special gods, starting with Zeus and some of the others. And they, because of that, when they're the Paris Olympics this summer, they're named after that, the Olympians, those were the gods. But none of those gods could satisfy the heart of the Athenians, but there was one who could. He said, you built an altar, you've made something here, you said to the unknown God. Well, tonight we know who the real God is. God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one you need to know tonight. All of those other gods couldn't do anything for anyone. But at verse 30, it says, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's a pretty strong word to use, command. What if he had said, suggested, said it would be a good idea? Well, no, not that. Why did God command? Because God wants you to be with him in his presence for all eternity. He doesn't want to leave you to your own devices, to your own destiny. God is the most incredible planner that there is. But there's one thing he never planned for. You can read from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation, and you will never find that God said, I made a place for those who refuse the good news of salvation. He never made a place for that. But it can't be heaven. A person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is worse than a fish out of water. You don't fit there. What if we'd gone into this town and we'd started pulling people in? That wouldn't work very well. So, he made a place for Satan and the demons, those who have no opportunity of being redeemed. And that's the only alternative. If you were to stop for a moment and think about what it would be like to spend eternity in the lake of fire, if we could build a box in the middle of this room, make it absolutely dark, heat it up, and the only thing you could hear was people screaming and things from outside. And we said, now, you're going to spend this until tomorrow morning. The first meeting tomorrow morning is 9:30. And let's see how you feel at 9:30 tomorrow morning. You'd say, please, no, don't put me in there. That's 9:30 tomorrow morning. That's 14 hours or so from now. Can you imagine what that would be for a day, for a week, for a month, for a year, for eternity? Stop and think about it. Is that what someone would choose to say, that's what I want to do for my eternity? I want to spend it isolated, separated, and everything else. Well, the decisions for that are made now. One of the fellow students that worked in the same laboratory when we were in the university was Barry Eisenberg, Jew by birth. When I would talk to Barry Eisenberg about what we're talking tonight, Barry's response was, everything in my life, I've made the decision when it happened, and I will make the decision about eternity when I go into it. Yeah, Barry got his PhD. But if Barry didn't change in that, Barry's a fool, because there was no escape. You don't make the decisions about eternity once you're in it. You make the decisions about eternity now, because this might be the now or maybe never meeting for you. And so, God commands. Why? Because He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come. His Son paid a price so great, just like that man. He could have paid the debts off of the town, but it was only those who came in between 9 and 12 on that Saturday morning with their debts. And you're going to pay without ever being able to pay it off for all eternity in the lake of fire if you refuse the Lord Jesus. My debt was paid. My debt was bigger than anyone that I know of in this room. I'm glad you don't see what was on the debt. He paid it. Why? Because He loves me and He loves you. And so He says, I command you. I'm not going to give you an option, because I know what the alternative is. And I hope tonight you understand what the alternative is. But let's go over to the other thing, chapter 16. And we know that what happened there, these were men put in jail, Paul and Silas. And verse 30 said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I can't think of words